Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you this morning. So my name is Hannah, and I work for Bible Society. My role is in the UK to travel around the north of England and speak about our work, to spread awareness of our work, and just share the good news of what God is doing through his word around the world today. So before I go into that a bit more deeply, I'm just going to share with you, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure many of you do, but for those of you who don't know just who Bible Society are, what we do, I'm just going to go through that with you. So Bible Society are a charity that was set up over 200 years ago just to bring the Bible to life, so make the Bible available to every man, woman and child around the world. And that can look very different depending on the country and the area that you're working in. But predominantly, most of our work is through translation, through printing the Bible, distributing the Bible, so getting it into the hands of people who, for whatever reason, would not just be able to have access to the Bible as easily as we do. Literacy classes, so teaching people to read through the Bible. Bible engagement, so helping them to engage with the Bible, apply it to everyday life. And Bible advocacy. So we advocate for the Bible's place in society. We do that with governments here, but also in Africa and China as well. So that's kind of a very quick overlook at Bible Society. We started originally here in England in 1804, and we're now in 140. We have 146 official Bible societies which work in over 200 countries. So we reach a lot of people just trying to make the Bible accessible for them. But as I said, that can look very different depending on the country that you're in. So today I wanted us to talk about translation. We were hearing before in Genesis about how God confused us with the different languages. And I'm sure, as many of you have experienced, as I've experienced, that even though we're English and English can, you know, is so widely spoken, when you go on holiday and you're trying to communicate with someone in a different language, it can be so frustrating. This really is still the case, really. It's a really frustrating matter for many people around the world who do not have the Bible available in their own language. I know it is really difficult to believe, considering that we have so many different versions of the Bible available to us. We have it available online, we have it available in audio, but there are still millions of people who do not have the Bible available in their own heart language. So there are roughly recorded at the moment just under 7,000 languages in the world today. And the Bible isn't available for 3,655 of those languages. So that's not one single piece of scripture written in that language. So as you can imagine, there's still a lot of work to do. A lot of work has been done. There are 648 full Bibles available in 648 languages. So we've achieved that, but we're still working hard to get 3,655 languages just to have a book or any piece of scripture written in their heart language. And that's about 253 million people that are not reached, that cannot access the Bible. So as I said, translation work can look very different depending on the area that we're in. So I'm going to just talk about a few of the areas that we work in. One of the areas we're really active in the moment is China. So I'm sure, as many of you know, there's a big revival going on in China at the moment. There are about 1 million people every year coming to the Christian faith in China, which is fantastic, considering what China has been through, considering a few years ago, it was illegal to own a Bible. You could be put in prison just for owning a Bible. But now, in China, this is one of the places where the demand for the Bible is at its highest. And that is because so many people are coming to faith. So, as you can imagine, we actually print Bibles in China as well. So, in Nanjing in China is actually the largest Bible printing press in the world, where we're able to print about a Bible every second. So we print Bibles here, distribute them across mainland China, and also distribute them elsewhere. So this would be kind of the standard Bible that we would produce. So this is in the main Han Chinese language. I'll put these all at the back for you to have a look at more closely. So this Bible is available. We distribute it across the country. People can buy them in bookshops. We distribute them to people who could not afford a Bible, because a lot of Christians in China live under the poverty poverty line. But what about the other people? There are actually 55 different ethnic minorities in China. So there are 55 different languages in China. And this, until last year, was the only Chinese Bible that was available. So that was the only language. The main Han Chinese language was the only one available up until last year. So last year, in 2016, we actually managed to finish two new languages and two Chinese kind of dialects languages in the Bible. So this was for, first of all, the Black Yi people, which is a minority in China, who represent about 80,000 people. They live in the mountains in the Yunnan province of China, and they had been desperate to have a Bible in their own heart language, and they actually received that Bible last year, which was an amazing celebration. And then another group of people called the East Lisu people, which I just want to talk a little bit more about. They've actually, their community has been Christian for over a century. So their ancestors became Christians. But they were never able to have a Bible in their heart language. Can you imagine, you know, being a Christian for your heritage being a Christian, but never being able to have a Bible? So there was this a school teacher called Yang Hakuan, who decided he wanted to make the Bible available in his own people's language. So he started working on it. But as you can imagine, this takes a long time. So he was working on this Bible for over 40 years on his own, trying to get this Bible written in his heart language. But then United Bible Society, so Bible Society heard about this and wanted to step in and help him. Now you may think, why would Bible Society not step in sooner? Well, as you can imagine, the situation in China is still quite delicate, and we can only step in with translations that the government allows us to. So, for whatever reason, in 2005, the government decided they would allow us to step in and help this community get their Bible finished. So, it took us from 2005 to 2016 to help get this translation finished, to kind of review it all, get it printed, and get it distributed. So, on a warm day in October last year, the East Lisu people, they put on their celebratory clothing. They had a massive celebration, and there were many, many tears shed when they received the Bible for the very first time in their own heart language. As you can imagine, what an achievement after waiting so many years for the Bible. But that's only kind of half the story, really, because now the challenge is, as I mentioned before, a lot of Christians live underneath the poverty line, so they don't have their, most of them, a lot of them are illiterate. So the challenge then is to teach them to read so they can read their own Bible. So we do this in China and other countries as well, but we're starting to do this with the East Lisu people to teach them to read to the literacy classes, but through the Bible. So the first book they learn to read is the Bible. So that's just one of the things that we're doing. We're doing that in many areas around the world, is trying to physically get the Bible written in people's heart language. Okay, but like I said, you have this kind of high rate of illiteracy around the world. So how, if you can't teach all of these people to read, how do we combat that? Okay, so I'm going to talk about that next. Another thing that we do is something called the Proclaimer, which is a Bible which is available in an audio version. And I've got one with me here. So this will be taken to a lot of poorer areas around the world, as I said, with high rates of illiteracy. And this is actually a solar-powered Bible. So this would have this solar panel on the top. You take it to a remote village in Africa or India, and they can charge it through solar power. If not, if for whatever reason they can't, you can actually wind it up as well. So back child like that. And you can also plug it in. But and then inside it is a chip. Usually there's the New Testament, but some with full Bibles. And so what happens is you put them in the middle of a village, and then people would just gather around and listen to the Bible being spoken in their heart language. And I'll just play it for you now just to see what it's like. This is in an Ethiopian dialect. Don't ask me to translate it afterwards because I don't know.
Isn't
that amazing? So you can just picture it, people gathered around listening to the Bible, because we don't want the fact that they don't know how to read to be able to stop them from engaging with the Bible. And there are amazing testimonies that come out from people just sitting and listening to this little box. And there's one story of a man called Ram who was a Dalit in, or who is a Dalit in India. So that is an untouchable, they're the lower caste. They're seen as kind of dirt to higher castes. And he was working in the potato fields in India, doing the same thing day in, day out, in unimaginable heat for a few pounds a week. He was married, he had children, and he just came to the point where he thought, what is the point of going on? If it wasn't for my wife and kids, I would kill myself. There is nothing for me in life anymore. But one day he was walking down the road and he heard a voice coming from inside a church. So he walks up to the church, goes into the church, and he sees this little box just sat at the front of the church. And he starts walking towards it. And what's amazing is, first of all, he's surprised that he's not asked to leave as soon as he enters the church, because that's usually what happens when he goes into public places. So he goes to the front, he sits down, and he just decides to listen to the proclaimer. And it speaks these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Now, Ram, hearing these words, fell to his knees and just wept. Because he never knew that God had a heart for the poor. He never knew that God could speak to him. He didn't know that that this passage existed, because he'd never heard it before. And through this, he joins the church, and him and his family last year were all baptized. And he says that even though he's still in the same situation, nothing has physically changed about his life now, but he says because of God, he can now look forward to eternal life, to hope in eternity, and he has a new hope in him, which gives him unspeakable joy. And that's amazing, isn't it? It comes from just hearing a few pieces of scripture, which are probably so, so familiar to us. But that's just one example of how using the proclaimer has impacted a life. Now, another kind of part of what you could call translation work is producing Braille Bibles. Now, there's 285 million people that are estimated to be visually impaired around the world. 40 million of them are blind. And there's only 44 languages in the world that have a full Braille Bible available. Now, Braille Bible takes a lot of work. I'll just show you what I mean. So this is an example of an English gospel. This is just the gospel. This is St. Luke's gospel. And do you see how big that is? So can you imagine how much work it would take to do a full Bible, how much space that would take? So that's why there's only 44 of these available at the moment, two of which we completed last year. So we're at work trying to complete Braille Bibles as well as regular Bibles to reach the visually impaired. And this is why. There's a boy called Bernard who is 12 years old. He's from Uganda. And he became blind a couple of years ago. And he says, "My parents were very scared. They'd never seen a blind person before. People in my home village thought I was cursed and that I didn't deserve to be educated." So he goes to school, and we provide these full Braille Bibles in his school. And so he goes to the library, and he's able to open up and read the Braille Bible. And he says, "It has changed my life so much. I don't depend on others to read to me. Anytime I feel like reading the Word of God, I can do this. God has talked to me through the Bible. When I read stories such as how Jesus reached the leper, that encourages me. Inside myself, because of what I read in the Bible, I know that God can do anything." And our secretary of our Bible Society in Uganda says that blind people have heard all their life that God doesn't love them. But when they read that God has a purpose for them, it changes everything. They know then that God has created them just as they are. That knowledge transforms them and brings them joy. And so people, obviously we have blind people that can listen to the Bible, that there is such It's so important for people who are visually impaired to be able to engage with the Bible for themselves. That's why the Braille Bible is so important, because they can take it away, they can listen to it, they can kind of encounter it on their own. And can you imagine thinking that you were cursed and thinking that God had no purpose for you, but then when you open the Bible and are able to read it for yourself, knowing, actually, that's not the truth. The truth is that God loves me and has a purpose for me. So that's why things reaching children like that and many people like that around Africa is so important. Another type of the Bible that we are working on at the moment is the Bible in sign language, particularly in Swaziland. So Swaziland has one of the highest rates of HIV, and if you can contract HIV during pregnancy, it can cause deafness in children. So we're working to do the Bible in sign language, because sign language can be the heart language of people with deafness. So even though they could read it, actually their first language, the language that they're first taught and speak straight to their heart, is sign language. So what we're doing in Swaziland is filming the Bible in sign language. Now that's a difficulty, because sign language is actually not considered an official language in Swaziland yet. So we are trying to create sign language at the same time, and also do a sign language Bible through video, so stand in front of a green screen and do sign language. And we're working on it, particularly testing it on schools for deaf children in Swaziland. And they've said since the children have been engaging with the Bible in sign language, they've seen a change in the children. And they said the teachers there say that deaf children are very visual learners, so abstract ideas in scripture such as forgiveness and redemption are difficult for them to grasp. When you talk about God, for example, they ask where he lives. Reading the Bible is not easy either, but seeing God's word in sign language brings it to life. And according to the head teacher, she says that it's even had an impact on their behavior. She says, the children's reaction to the stories have been amazing. We have seen their behavior starting to change. Bullying is no more. The children reach out and help each other. So you see, sharing stories from the Bible, such as the Good Samaritan, for example, can actually have an impact on the way that people live. They're stories that many people have not heard before. And so I've just shared with you a brief overview of what it looks like doing translation work. It may seem like just like languages, but actually it can look very different depending on the country that you're in. But what is so evident is that the Bible is still in such high demand that there are still many people waiting and hungry to have the Bible available in their own heart language. So I'm going to finish now, if it's working, with a video of people from a tribe from Indonesia who received the Bible for the very first time in their own heart language. And it's just such a powerful video. And I'm going to finish with that. But if you would like more information, I put some more some leaflets at the back. If you wanted to pray with us, that would be fantastic. We have prayer and actions that you can pick up, which are prayer prompts. And if you felt like you wanted to support us, we are a charity. The only way we can do what we do is through donations from Christians and churches here. And there is something you can join called Bible a Month, which is where you give £5 a month, which provides a Bible for someone each month. £5 is the average cost of getting a Bible to someone. So if you wanted to sign up to that today, there are some at the back. Please come speak to me. And if you have any questions, again, please come see me at the back. But I just want you to sit back, hopefully, and watch this great video and just see the power of people receiving the Bible for the first time.